defensive, as they all involve some kind of blue or green geometric shape that briefly forms over her body as the ability goes off. Kruzug bashes Valhelena with its hammer, and her health bar goes down by about a quarter. She responds with a bash of her own from her shield, and a double slice with her sword. The big monster's health bar doesn't move. Before it can attack again, though, a burst of white light glows around Valhelena, a spell cast from one of the healing mages. Her health bar is topped up just in time for Kruzug to take it back down by a quarter. I turn my attention to what the other members of her team are doing. Now that I check them, they all seem to be in the 40 to 50 level range. The party led by Zeke has a couple warriors and a thief, all damage dealers. They stay mostly behind Kruzug, slashing away at its legs while Valhelena keeps its attention focused on her. They perform abilities as well, which I assume are special attacks for more damage. Every so often a normal troll spawns, and the damage dealers leave Kruzug to chop it down before they come back and unleash a flurry of special attacks that remove a noticeable sliver from the big troll's health. But the really big damage comes when a massive ball of lightning shoots across the cavern and slams Kruzug for a good chunk of its health. I check the combat log to see how much. Thanis casts Thunderball. The Thunderball hits Kruzug for 10,513, 8,940, damage. Holy cow! How many hit points does this thing have? I'm not entirely sure why there are two numbers, one within brackets, but I guess it's some kind of damage mitigation from the troll's armor. Or maybe the number in brackets is the real damage, and the higher number is actually some kind of bonus damage for being lightning or something. Trolls have an earth affinity. With lightning being strong against earth, it would kind of make sense. The cycle keeps going like this. Valhelena tanking the big, slow hits and the occasional double attack, the celestial mages healing her back up, while the melee players go all out, and the elemental mages make step changes to the LM's health bar with massive damage spells. It's all quite impressive to watch and entertaining despite my being dead for over 5 minutes. And then a room-wide message appears. Kruzug readies Mountain Buster. Here it comes! Valhelena shouts. The double-sized troll faces its hammerhead down, holding it like a sword he's about to plunge into the ground. I get a pretty quick idea of what's about to happen next. The mages back up an extra step or two, and the damage dealers start to use what look like defensive abilities of their own, as does Valhelena. She encircles herself with another thick shield of blue polygons, ready for the attack. "Hit me with a heal 4 as soon as it lands," she says, "and then heal up the melee party as quick as you can afterward." Her eyes shoot in my direction. "Why hasn't that dumb girl moved yet?" I pan behind me to see poor Gilly still standing there. Kruzug slams the hammer down with a massive boom that sends a shockwave across the cavern floor. Valhelena's health bar drops to a third, and the melee party is almost killed, surviving the blast with only about 10% health left. The mages are out of range, so they go untouched. But poor Gilly gasps in a death cry and quickly joins me on the floor. Valhelena glances at Gilly's corpse and then takes an unfortunate double attack by the huge hammer. Instantly, her health is knocked down to 2%. My heart jumps. "Heal me up!" she yells, panicked. "Heal me up!" The hammer is just about to slam down on her again when a heal finally lands, bumping Valhelena back up to 40% before being knocked back down to 10%. A flurry of heals washes over her then, including one she remarkably casts herself, quickly topping her up to full health. My heart is still pumping. Man, that was close. "Nice work," Valhelena says as she recovers. "Get the melee healed up." I get an in-party message. Gilly.
"Hey, we're dead. What happened?"
Me. "Kruzug happened."
"Ah, so that's what they came for," Gilly says, switching to the party chat.
It's kind of funny to hear her voice coming from a body that's face down on the floor.
"No problem, though. We should still be able to get the TOD, even if we're dead."
"What's that?"
"Time of death."
"That sounds morbid."
"All legendary monsters spawn on a set timer that starts from the last time it was killed. So if you know the TOD, you'll know when it will spawn again. And if you're the only one who knows it, it means there will be no one else to compete with you for the claim."
"Yeah, what's that claim thing all about?"
You see how the Gruzug's name looks gray to us right now? I didn't really notice before, but when I focus on the LM again, I see its name in gray text.
Yeah?
That means it's claimed by another party. If we were fighting it, it would be red. We can't engage it in combat unless we're in the same party. Once it's claimed, that party gets to fight it, kill it, and loot it. No one else.
I see.
When it spawns, the name is white, meaning it's unclaimed. So whoever can engage it first essentially wins.
Ah. I get it now. So Val Helena thought we were here with a rival guild trying to steal the claim first.
Val who?
Val Helena, the half-giant lady?
Oh, her.
I can hear the eye roll in her voice.
What?
Well, you pretty much couldn't keep your eyes off her, could you?
What?
I say again, indignant. She's the first level 85 character I've seen. Plus, she is kind of awesome, you have to admit.
Awesome, you say?
Gilly huffs.
I can think of something else she is that begins with an A.
I laugh.
Here, I'll prove it to you.
Gilly then does a yell command, which sends a message to the entire room, even if you're dead. A last-ditch way to beg for help if you die.
Gilly. Hey, giant lady! Are you just going to leave us here, dead on the ground?
Val Helena looks annoyed by the distraction. They have Gruzug down to 20% now, and it seems to be fighting back more aggressively than before.
That's why I warned you guys to clear out of here!
Idiots. Gilly.
So is that a yes, then?
I can get them, Val.
One of the mages, an elven girl, shouts from across the cavern.
No, I'll get them,
Val Helena says. She mutters a bit after she says it, though. Then, in a feat that looks as miraculous as the spell itself, she times her casting of rays in between taking hits from the troll's hammer and slamming Gruzug with a shield bash. A bright light engulfs my corpse, and a message pops up. Val Helena has offered to raise you. Do you accept? Y. N. I hit yes, and Val Helena suddenly cries,
No, wait!
The spell completes, and my body slowly starts to rise off the ground as the words appear. Gruzug readies Mountain Buster. I land on my feet, my hit points refilling to a paltry 10% of max, just as the Mountain Buster goes off. I see red again as my character hits the floor. A massive, level-down message appears across my vision, accompanied by an ego-deflating sound effect.
What?
I didn't even know that was possible.
Man, dying really sucks in this game. It's no wonder I don't play the combat classes.
Laughter and comments float in from Val Helena's crew.
Oh, snap! He leveled down! LOL! LMAO! LOL! Poor noob. Shame on you for raising him, just to let him get killed again, Val.
Apparently, seeing someone level down is one of the most amusing things in all of Crystal Shards Online. For me, it's one of the most humiliating. I'm never getting caught in combat ever again.
Ack,
Gilly says.
Sorry about that, Reese.
Don't worry, it's not your fault. I just didn't expect that to happen.
I'll get them this time, Val.
The same elven mage from before says.
I'll use mass resurrection.
Val Helena's eyes go wide, and she looks over her shoulder at the mage.
No, don't!
But the spell goes off. Instantly, Gilly and I are surrounded by swirling white light. Gruzug immediately loses all interest in Val Helena and focuses on the mage who just raised us. A huge boulder appears in Gruzug's hand. It hurls it at the elf girl. The thing explodes on impact, and the entire mage party falls down dead, health bars depleted to zero.
No! Damn it!
Val Helena curses. Mass confusion ensues.
What happened? Sylvie pulled hate by raising those noobs. I didn't mean to. We're gonna wipe. I can't believe this, man. 15% left.
A battle of desperate attrition begins. Val Helena continues to fight on, healing herself between each hit. But there's no way she can keep up. She's down to 20% health when the dreaded words finally appear. Gruzug readies Mountain Buster. And then it's over. Val Helena, along with Zeke and the warrior party, flatlines, leaving Gruzug the ultimate champion. I see its name change from gray to white as its health bar slowly starts to go up again.
It's gone unclaimed, Gilly says.
It's going to reset and heal back up to max health.
Oh, man.
Valhelena. One of you mages respawn and run back down here to raise us. If we're fast enough, we can reclaim it before it heals back to 50%.
Sylvie.
I'm on it.
Sylvie's corpse disappears, replaced by a tombstone. A couple minutes go by, and then Sylvie returns, dressed only in elven lingerie. She recovers her gear from her tombstone and immediately casts Mass Resurrection on the other mages first, who then help her raise the rest of the team. I notice the spell Sylvie cast on us earlier is still in effect, so I raise as well, along with Gilly. We both make a beeline for the mages as soon as we're up, as do most people, clearing their distance from the LM who now stands in the center of the cavern. Valhelena gets a raise and stalks toward the remnants of her team, looking like she wants to murder someone. She stops next to Gilly and I and regards us with a scowl.
Damn noobs. We wiped out there thanks to you.
Gilly's green eyes go fierce, and I can tell she wants to say something smart back to Valhelena as she meets the big woman's stare. But the guilt of what she did to egg her on must be weighing on her conscience, because she holds back. Instead, she just looks to me.
Let's get out of here, Rhys.
I find myself torn. I know we've probably outstayed our welcome after what went down, but part of me feels responsible for that, and I want to try to make amends. I check Gruzug and see he's already back up to 30%.
Can't you just get back in there? It's only at 30%.
Can't yet, Valhelena says. We're all weakened. Need to wait 5 minutes for it to wear off.
I notice then that there's a small buff that looks like a skull on my status bar, and my max HP, TP, and stamina are all reduced by half.
It happens when you get a raise instead of just respawning.
It'll be back to half by the time we're ready to go again.
Well, I'm sorry about all this, I say.
Gilly shoots me a dirty look and messages me through the party chat.
What are you apologizing for? You don't have to suck up to her.
I don't know, I say back sheepishly. I just feel bad, I guess. I see a shadow dash between Valhelena and us, and for a second I think it's some kind of glitch in my rig. But then I see Valhelena and Gilly react to it as well.
What was that? I say.
A loud wail explodes through the cavern, and we all turn to see Gruzug keeling over in pain. Its name has turned gray again, and its health bar is back down to 25%.
Holy cow! What could have taken 5% off of its health like that?
The answer emerges in the form of a slender elf woman in black leather gear, twin katanas in her hands. The blades are moving so fast I can barely see them. Only the multiple grunts Gruzug makes with each hit keep track of just how rapidly the woman attacks the LM. Gruzug swings, and the woman simply ducks under it, taking no damage at all. I focus on her to bring up her character stats.
Name, Iko. Sex, female. Race, elven. Class, ninja. Level, 85. Guild, none.
Everyone is watching now. The elven woman is hard to make out due to how fast she's moving, but she has dark blue hair, as far as I can tell. It blends in nicely with her tight-fitting ninja garb. I check that next.
Dark shinobi mask, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 30 TP. Dark shinobi gi, plus 150 HP, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 30 agility, plus 30 dodge. Warrior's teko. Plus 75 HP, plus 20 agility, plus 20 dexterity, plus 20 strength, plus 20 vitality. Ninja Hakama. Plus 150 HP, plus 30 dodge, plus 30 agility. Dark Shinobi Kyahan. Plus 75 HP, plus 30 shadow magic, plus 20 dodge. Poison Kunai plus 5. Plus 30 dexterity, plus 30 agility, plus 50 poison damage. Lightning Kunai, plus 5. Plus 30 dexterity, plus 30 agility, plus 50 lightning damage.
I'm blown away by the stats, but even more so to see them in effect. Iko slowly chips away at Gruzug's health while taking absolutely no damage herself. A buzz starts throughout Valhelena's team.
Is that the Iko?
It has to be.
Is she going to solo it? No way!
It's an LM. You can't solo a legendary monster,
Zeke says as he strolls over to us. Sure, she can dodge its attacks, but she can't do much damage to it without being able to backstab it. And she doesn't have a healer with her, so her luck is bound to run out. What do you mean? I ask. You can't dodge an AoE attack. She'll be dead soon enough, and then we'll just reclaim it. She's doing us a favor, really. She's keeping its HP from regenning while we wait for our weakness to wear off. I check the combat log, and all I see is, Gruzug misses Iko. Gruzug misses Iko. Iko dodges Gruzug's attack. Gruzug misses Iko. Iko dodges Gruzug's attack. And then I see it. Gruzug readies Mountain Buster. See? Zeke laughs. Say bye-bye, Ninja Girl. I look to Valhelena, but she doesn't seem to find it funny at all. In fact, she looks more pissed off than ever. Iko's blurring image comes to a rapid halt as the elven woman stands completely still. I see her face for the first time, and am taken aback by how beautiful she is, even with her mouth and nose covered by her ninja mask. In fact, the mask only seems to add to her allure. She closes her eyes, raising her hand to her forehead in a martial stance. Kanji-like runes swirl around her right before the Mountain Buster goes off. I expect to see her health drop to a sliver, or to see her just drop dead, period. But nothing happens. Her health bar doesn't move at all. What the heck? An unsettled murmur washes through Valhelena's team as I check the combat log. Iko casts Shadow Copy. Gruzug uses Mountain Buster. Iko's shadow absorbs the attack. I'm dumbfounded, along with the rest of Valhelena's crew, who raise their voices in disbelief. That's impossible! Nothing happened? She must be a hacker. Can she really solo that thing? Of course she can solo it! Valhelena's powerful voice cuts through the chatter. Her words drip with disdain. She has Shadow Copy, the most OP ability in the whole damn game. She's a freaking dodge tank. Chapter 7. Highs and Lows. I open my inventory to make sure I'm not dreaming, and that I heard Valhelena right. She did just say Shadow Copy, didn't she? I look for the scroll I dug up earlier, and my heart begins to race as I read the description again with new eyes. Scroll of Shadow Copy. Teaches the ninja ability, Shadow Copy. Level 12 ninja only. Create a copy of yourself using shadow magic to absorb your next hit. Cast time, 1 second. Recast, 15 seconds. No way. This can't be the same thing. I look back to where Iko is still soloing Gruzug. She's got him down to 12% now, and shows no signs of stopping. Miss, miss, dodge. Miss, miss, dodge. Shadow copy. Poof. No damage. I'm still not believing it. This can't be right. Stuff like this just doesn't happen to me. Ever. Hey, Ms. Valhelena? I ask sheepishly. She doesn't look down at me as she replies, her eyes fixed on the battle. What? That ability, Shadow Copy. It's ninja only? Yes. Check. How do you get it? From a scroll. It's a rare drop from any of the three Beast King boss monsters. The Nazgar world boss, Volnar, drops it too. My elation takes a nosedive. I should have known. What Iko's using out there can't be what I have. Maybe I have some low-level knockoff version of it or something. It can also be mined, but that's the rarest chance of all. Holy crap. Double check. I'm almost afraid to ask the next question, because this thing in my possession just can't be the same scroll Valhelena is talking about. You must have to be pretty high level to use it, though, right? No, she says. It's a level 12 ability. Triple check. What the heck? I feel like I'm about to piss myself. I have one of the most powerful abilities in the whole game, and to think I was about to junk it. Thank God I didn't, or I'd be contemplating suicide right now. Still, it's untradeable, and I can't fight, so how am I supposed to use this? I'm starting to freak out. Gilly must notice because she rests a hand on my shoulder and speaks to me in party chat.
You all right?
I don't know what to say to her. I don't know what to say to anybody. I link the item to her so she can see. I dug this up earlier in the mines. Her mouth hangs open for a moment. And then she bursts out loud for everyone to hear.
Holy crap, you guys! Reese has a scroll of shadow copy! Gilly!
I didn't mean for her to announce it to the whole world. Val Helena looks down at me like she's just noticed me for the first time.
You what?
I turn beet red as the focus of everyone present shifts from Iko to me. I'm bombarded with 100 questions at once.
Where is it? How'd you get it? Link it!
Okay, okay, I say, and link it to the room so everyone can see. Everyone goes dead quiet as the description appears and they read it. A hushed silence descends, broken only when Gruzug's death cry reverberates through the cavern and a message appears. Iko has defeated Gruzug. But nobody seems to care anymore. They're all just staring at me, like I'm some kind of freak or messiah.
Well, well, a melodic voice says from behind me. Looks like you're the kid with the golden ticket.
Everyone jumps, startled to see Iko suddenly standing in our midst. Everyone except Val Helena, that is. The huge woman eyes the elf like she wants to tear her face off.
You stole our kill, Iko. Those drops are ours.
Funny,
Iko gives her a nasty grin.
Didn't look like it was claimed to me.
You've become a real troll, you know that?
Iko laughs, a high-pitched cackle that instantly gives me the creeps.
Enjoy your sour grapes, Val. You should have picked a better team to back you up.
The blue-haired elf scans around the room, perhaps checking everyone's level.
Slim pickings, I guess. Or are you farming yourself out to mid-level guilds now for rent money?
You really need to stop with these games, Iko, Val Helena says. If you want to have it out with me, then let's just do it.
You know where to find me if you want to do that.
She turns and looks right at me.
Hey, you, with the pretty eyes. If you think that scroll is suddenly going to make you a dodge tank, think again. There's a lot more to it than being a one-trick pony.
I don't know quite what to say. So instead, I blurt out, I'm not even sure I can use it. I don't have any other classes leveled. Iko pauses for a moment, then bursts out with her cackle again.
Talk about wasted potential. Too bad you can't sell those things anymore.
Sell?
They used to be tradable before the devs changed it,
Val Helena explains.
They used to go for around 8 million credits.
Holy crap! I've got something worth 8 million credits?
That's how you got yours, wasn't it, Iko?
She grins.
Can't all be lucky now, can we? Some of us have to work hard for what we want. Speaking of which...
Iko turns to me again.
Tell you what, pretty boy. Volnar spawns next month. I'm putting together a world boss kill team to take her down. If you can manage to get yourself to 85 ninja and figure out how to tank halfway decent, I'll give you a spot. Always safer to have a backup tank when you're taking on a world boss. Ain't that right, Val?
Val Helena sighs tiredly.
Are you done here, Iko?
Iko gives me a creepy wink.
See you in a month, maybe, pretty boy.
She vanishes then, leaving behind a couple leaves to fall in her place. I'm still trying to piece together what just happened. My heart is racing, but I feel numb. I just got an invitation to kill a world boss. I look to Gilly and see she's just as shocked. In fact, she's not even moving. Actually, no one is. An error message pops up.
You are disconnected.
My vision goes black as I'm forcibly yanked from my rig. Suddenly, Mike is there. He's shouting in my face, spit flying from his mouth. The rapid transition from VR bliss to harsh reality has my brain doing cartwheels, and it takes a second for what he's saying to register.
I said get up, man!
He looks furious.
What the hell have you been doing all day?
I've been right here.
Why?
What is it?
Mom's at the hospital, you idiot.
What?
She went out on her own.
while you were stuck in here playing your stupid little game.
My blood freezes.
What? Come on. We need to go get her. Now.
Chapter 8. Gimp. It takes me a couple of minutes to throw on some jeans and a jacket before we exit the container's hatch and step into the dull light of our tunnel. I have Mutt and Jeff to assist me, of course, and I hobble as fast as I can to catch up to my brother. He's walking at a pace he knows I can't keep up with. I want to be mad at him. Pulling me out of my rig like that was uncalled for, but his reason for doing so has me more worried than angry at the moment. Why did Mom leave like that? Where was she trying to go? And how did she end up at the hospital?
Hurry it up, man, Mike shouts from ahead.
I grit my teeth and suppress a curse I know my mom wouldn't approve of.
I'm moving as fast as I can, okay?
Jerk. The tunnel is about as big as the ones I mine in, large enough for a couple of buses to fit side by side, not that I expect to ever see a bus down here. And all along the smooth walls are hatches to the other habitats. That's the proper word for the container-sized houses we live in, habitats. In between the hatches are huge yellow letters that read L32C. That's the address of my neighborhood, Level 32, Block C. The place I've lived most of my life. I don't even know who lives next to us, really. With the rigs and nanoprocessors, there isn't much need to leave your habitat at all, which is why the tunnel's deserted and feels more like a place that's been abandoned rather than a real neighborhood. There are usually more people, and things for them to do, outside of Crystal Shards Online, that is, at the hub level on L100. That's where we're headed. The hospital is there. Mike's waiting for me at the door of the lift station by the time I finally catch up to him. Like my avatar, he looks like a slightly cooler version of me. He's 26 and has a goatee. The sides of his head are shaved, and the top's grown long and plaited into cornrows. He's built like a linebacker, too, which sort of reminds me of that warrior guy I met earlier, Zeke. He looks annoyed when I approach him. The feeling is mutual. About time. I ignore him as we enter the elevator car and take a seat. It's got seating enough for 40 people, but we're the only ones on here. Still, like idiots, we sit close to one another, although we do leave a couple of seats between us. Guess brothers will be brothers no matter what. Main hub, Mike calls out. The automated system closes the doors and we begin to descend. The elevator can go up, too, of course, higher even than the first floor, close to the surface, but you need special access for that. Access like my mom had when she used to work up there. Just the thought of my mom has my stomach gnawing with worry again.
Did they say what happened to her? I ask. How'd she wind up at the hospital?
Mike blows out a sigh before he replies.
Someone found her passed out down on level 100. Her lung capacity isn't what it used to be. She must have overexerted herself. Why would she leave and not tell me?
I look to Mike for an answer, but he doesn't seem to have one.
You need to keep a better eye on her, Ryan. Keep an eye on her? I scoff. What is she, a baby? She's sick, man!
Mike shoots me a harsh glare.
She could have died today.
I open my mouth to retort, but the reality of his statement trumps anything I could possibly come up with. He's right. I could have lost my mom today. The lights flicker for a second and then suddenly go out. The elevator bangs to a stop, and we're left in darkness. Pitch black darkness. My heart rate soars as an unexpected terror sets in.
Mike, what just happened?
Relax, he says. And for once, I'm glad to have my big brother with me. It's just a load shed.
A what?
There's not enough power in the city, so the system shuts down any non-essential systems. He then adds, as a not-so-subtle dig, so people like you can keep playing your stupid games. His words get my stomach boiling, and I snap.
It's not a stupid game, okay? And that's not what I play it for. I'm trying to earn us money. I'm trying to pay for Mom's operation, which is more than I can say for you. What the heck do you do all day?
I expect a fiery reply, but all I get is a laugh.
You wouldn't understand even if I told you. What's that supposed to mean? It means don't worry about it. You should worry more about doing something better with your time,
besides digging up fake rocks in your fake mine all day. I'm actually a bit shocked that he even knows that much about what I do.
Well, those fake rocks earn real money that you use to eat.
Another condescending laugh comes from him.
Dude, you don't even know what money really is.
I feel like punching him, and I probably could have if I had sat closer to him. Landing a shot in the dark is probably the best chance I have at hitting my brother.
Oh, and I suppose you do?
There's a pause, and then my brother's tone changes when he answers. He sounds almost melancholy. More than I'd like.
Jeez, he can be such a weirdo sometimes.
The point is, Ryan, there's other stuff you could be doing. Stuff that earns steady pay, like customer service or programming. You have to realize your limitations. You can't play those games like other people can. That's why you're stuck in the mines. You're not going to just one day kill some world boss and win 1,000,000 credits. It's not possible for you.
His words stab like a knife in my chest, but only red-hot anger comes flooding out. Screw you, Mike! You don't know what's possible for me or not. I am going to beat a world boss, and I am going to save Mom. I'll show you. You don't even know me.
Dead silence is all I hear. And then he says, "The city is dying, Ryan, and we're all asleep. We don't have time for these games." We spend the next 20 minutes in darkness and silence. I sit, pondering over how this freak and I could have come from the same womb. But out of all the messed up stuff Mike has said thus far, the thing that stays lodged in my brain is the truth. You can't play those games like other people can. The words echo in my mind like a prison sentence. It takes me back to my first time logging into Crystal Shards Online and the world of NASCAR. It was about 1 year ago when I turned 16. I was excited that I could walk normally in-game and was expecting the same when I rolled a warrior as my starting class. I noticed the -10 agility, but I didn't think too much about it. Not until I tried to fight my first mob. I was in a lobby area, a lush woodland outside the human starting city of Timberdale. I was decked out in my standard-issue noob gear, a green cotton tunic and blue pants, and a beginner's practice sword. I can still recall the description on the sword. "Practice makes perfect, but at least this sword is dull enough not to hurt you when you mess up." The devs had a great sense of humor sometimes. I saw an oversized bumblebee and focused on it to make its stats appear. B. Level 1. A busy bee. Take too long to kill it, and you might end up with a nasty sting. Elemental affinity. Wind. I ran over to it and engaged my attack. Instantly, I'd gone from feeling free to feeling like I needed Mutt and Jeff again. My world slowed, and I felt like I was pushing through sand. The wooden sword in my hand felt like it was suddenly made of lead. The bee hit me. -2 HP. Then it hit me again. -2 HP. My HP bar read 16 out of 20 HP, and I still hadn't attacked yet. I remember thinking, "What the heck? -2 HP. I'd strained with all my might, my brain sending all the right signals, but my body just wouldn't comply. Just like in real life. -2 HP. I strained some more and was finally able to make a swing. You miss the bee. -2 HP. -4 HP. Critical hit. My HP bar turned red and flashed. 4 out of 20 HP. -2 HP. B uses sting. -8 HP. You are defeated. What?
I spent the rest of the night dying to level 1 mobs, trying to get a different result. I even tried a mage class, but the same thing happened when I tried to cast a spell. I called tech support and got the bad news that the problem was on my end. They suggested I try a non-combat class or a different shard altogether. One that didn't rely on neural synchronization for dynamic interaction, which was just a fancy way of saying that their system wasn't optimized for the neurologically impaired. I was crushed and defeated, and I broke down in tears. The thing I'd waited so long to experience, had so wanted to enjoy, I couldn't
That's the same way I feel now. I have one of the most coveted items in the game. I have a scroll of shadow copy. And I can't use it. Because I'm a gimp.
Chapter 9. Reality Bites. After a half-hour delay, my brother and I exit the elevator and enter the main hub. The air down here stinks, and the lighting sucks, but I think it's meant to be that way. It looks like a city in perpetual night. Glowing holograms for seedy bars, and other activities you can't readily achieve without bodily or chemical interaction, line the streets. They stretch between tall buildings that reach into the darkened sky and then disappear into nothing. It's almost hard to believe that machines built all this. Though no one's actually seen a builder for over 100 years, or so they say. The stink comes from people, the homeless variety. They swarm us as we exit the elevator car. Old men and women in clothes that smell like urine and feces. They hold disposable credit chips in their dirty hands, begging us to fill them. My neural plug would allow me to connect to the chips and download my credits to them. It'd be as easy as swiping my finger. But I don't. There are too many of them, and we don't have the credits to spare. Mike pushes through the pack, something he looks extremely comfortable doing, and I follow him as best I can with my crutches. He actually waits for me this time, and shields me from the beggars as we head further into the neon-lit city. A chill runs through me as we leave the vagrants behind. That could be us at any moment. There are no landlords in the habitats. If you fail to pay your rent on time, the services simply stop working. No power, no water, no food, no air. You eventually have to leave or suffocate. They'll even pump in a bit of CO2 if you need extra encouragement to vacate the premises. Once empty, the hatch would then seal and await access from a new tenant who could pay the rent. More times than not, people just died in there. That's when an actual person from the municipality would show up. It's one of the few jobs that still needs to be done in the real world. They collect the bodies and take them down to the vats for recycling. I don't like to think about that, though. It's the place we'll all end up one day. And my mom could be there sooner than I'd like, if I don't do something about it. As we pass an alleyway, I smell food. Grilled meat. I give a glance down the narrow passageway and see a trash barrel set on fire with some kind of animal skewered on metal rods hanging over it. I can't identify what kind of animal it is. Maybe a cat, or a very large rat. Either possibility turns my stomach. We press on through the crowds, passing prostitutes, drug dealers, and addicts. The thought of my mom falling unconscious down here has me freaking out. I bump into some guy in his 50s, and he pushes me back so hard I fall to the ground, my crutches clattering beside me.
Watch it, gimp!
Hey! Mike is on him in an instant, punching the guy in the head.
Don't you touch my brother!
The guy flails with the hit, but then swings back around with a knife in his hand.
Arr, you little punk!
My heart's in my throat.
Mike!
I needn't have worried. Mike lands a downward kick to the old guy's waist that stomps him right into the ground. Mike then stands over him, brandishing his closed fists like weapons.
Beat it, old man, Mike says coolly, or I'll send you to the vats.
Mike's words scare me just as much as they do the guy. He scrambles off the grimy street and disappears into the crowd. Mike reaches down to help me up.
Let's go.
For the second time today, I'm glad I'm with my big brother. And that he's on my side. Where and when did he learn to fight like that? We travel another block or so and finally reach the hospital. It's more like a clinic, really, and it's about the size of a small diner. I can see through the bar-covered windows that it's brightly lit inside, with white-tiled floors and shiny, sterile-looking equipment. I expected the place to be crammed full of people, with a huge waiting line outside, but there's no one to be seen. I understand why when we approach the doors. The door beeps and demands an entry fee of 5 credits each. Guess there's no such thing as free access to healthcare down here. Literally.
We pay the amount, and when I check our account balance, my heart nearly stops. Your balance is 187 credits.
What the heck?
Where is all our money?
I'm in full panic mode as we walk inside. A middle-aged nurse dressed in green scrubs greets us from behind a desk.
Do you need assistance?
She says it in a way that translates into, please don't say yes.
We're just here to collect our mother, Mike says.
We walk past the nurse to see my mom reclined in one of the self-service automed booths, dozing. The automed booths normally stand upright, but hers is tilted at a 45-degree angle. The double transparent doors are shut, and there seems to be some kind of mist in there. Her eyes look droopy when she sees us, but she gives us a smile.
Look at my two boys. All grown up.
Her voice comes out through a tiny speaker on the outside of the booth.
I wish your dad could see you both.
Her statement opens another deep wound in my soul, one that I haven't quite dealt with yet. I was too young when he died to remember my dad, and my mom's never really told me what happened, other than he was at work.
Why'd you go out on your own, Mom? Mike lays into her first. You need to take Ryan with you if you're going to leave the house, and you shouldn't be coming this far down. What are you doing down here?
Oh, I'm sorry, she says sarcastically. Are you the parent now?
She chuckles as Mike gives an exasperated sigh.
Are you okay, Mom? I ask. What happened?
She waves a hand toward the interface at the side of the booth.
Look for yourself.
I wave through the holographic screen to see that she's being treated for fluid buildup in her lungs. The service is set to last for another 45 minutes, and our account has already been charged.
1,000 credits?
I guess that answers that. There's no question of where our money went now. I feel angry for a second.
How could she have been so irresponsible?
I'm about to say something, but hold it back instead. Now is not the time to complain about money. Not when it just saved my mom's life. The thought gets me checking through the rest of her diagnosis and treatment options.
Detected. Stage 4 bronchogenic carcinoma. Treatment options. 1. Nanosurgical reconstruction. 3,575,000 credits. 2. Cloned lung transplant. 1,850,000 credits. 2-month delivery. 3. Prosthetic lung transplant. 525,000 credits. 4. Donor lung transplant. 57,000 credits. 12 to 24-month delivery.
I focus on option number 3, and then the paltry 187 credits in our account. It's got a 50-50 shot at survival at best, but it's still the best option we've got. And we have no way to afford it. An abyss of despair opens up inside me. I feel like crying, and probably would have if my mom and Mike weren't here.
Sweetie, my mom says to me, Mike and I need to talk. Do you mind?
I nearly glare at both of them. Pulling the adult card on me again? Fine, I say curtly and hobble off to one of the medi booths at the far end of the clinic, well out of earshot. I can still see them, though, and I wonder what it is they discuss. Could it be about me? Mom's condition? Finances? The last thought has me checking our bank account again.
187 credits. If only I could use that darn scroll. Defeating something even half as tough as Gruzug would probably land me 50k a kill, and I'd be able to do it solo. I wouldn't have to split it with anyone. I could save our whole family in a month. I have to find a way.
I look to the booth.
I've never actually checked to see how much it would cost to cure my condition. But I know it's possible.
I take another quick peek toward Mom and Mike to make sure they're not looking, and then slip into the booth.
Diagnose, I say.
The system scans me and comes back with,
Detected. Mild paraplegia. Legs. Treatment options. 1. Nanosurgical reconstruction. 575,000 credits.
What the heck? Only one option? And the price is even more than my mom's artificial lung.
Just like that, my dreams are shattered in a harsh punch of reality. I had hoped that maybe there would have been a cheap option, like an implant or something for around 10K, something I could bust my butt mining for and pay off once I achieved the dream. But 575K? No way. If I had that much money, I could pay for my mom's operation outright. I feel sick to my stomach. I find myself longing for my rig and the comfort of my virtual world, even though I know it can't solve any of my problems now. Mike was right. It is just a stupid game. We leave the clinic as a family and take the elevator back up to L32C. I'm not in a talkative mood. No one else seems to be either. We get home and spend 15 credits on a meal of mushy gray slop. After that, I say goodnight and retreat to the cramped confines of my bedroom. Alone, I ponder what I can do next. I need to get real, like Mike said. Quit the game and find a real job. The uneasiness in my system edges me toward putting on my rig, toward the escape from reality it will bring. Before I know it, I'm donning it, and the soothing dose of endorphins washes through my system as the menu screen opens. But there's a hollowness to it now. The mirage of possibilities and opportunities has been dissipated by the realities of my own limitations, and by reality in general. I sigh and wonder if Gilly is still online. I check and see that she isn't, but I do see a couple of messages from her. One, from Gilly.
Yo, Reese, where did you go? You're just standing here doing nothing.
Two, from Gilly.
Oh well, I guess you got disconnected or something. I had to leave to cash in my oars. Message me when you get back. We've got to talk about this shadow copy thing. You're going to be a Dodge tank, baby.
Three, from Gilly.
I've got to log off now, but I'm going to do some research for you. I'm going to figure out what you need to do to become a ninja. See you tomorrow.
Gilly. Suddenly I feel angry and disgusted. Become a ninja? How stupid does that sound? Plus, Gilly doesn't have problems like me. She wouldn't understand. I haven't even told her about my condition. She thinks I like to mine like her, that it's by choice. But what would telling her the truth even matter anyway? Even if she knew, it's not like there's anything she or I could do about it. I open the messenger and type her back, furious. To Gilly. Don't bother. I'm not using the scroll. In fact, I think I'm going to take a break from the game for a while. Bye. I briefly reread what I've written, and it comes back sounding harsh and bitter. But it's the same way I feel. So I hit the send button and log off. I think I doze off for an hour or so before my restless thoughts pull me into full consciousness. Something nags at the back of my brain. Something I should be doing or should have done, but I can't figure out what it is. I think maybe that it's to look for a real job. So I pull my rig back on and start looking through the classifieds. Gilly hasn't logged on yet, and I'm half relieved to not have a response to that message I sent her. Maybe that's a good thing. Distance from the game would probably be good at this point, and distancing myself from Gilly will help with that. Ironically, most of the jobs I see advertised are for in-game stuff. People looking for help with certain quests or wanting specific classes to join their guilds. There's even mining quotas for special ore deliveries. Oh, snap. That was it. I'd already made my decision to quit Crystal Shards, but there were still 8 or so stacks of silver ore lying on my character. Plus a stack of HQs as well. I checked the market boards. With the rush on silver at the moment, a normal stack was going for 200 credits, the HQs, 500. That's the rent nearly paid right there. I have to hurry up, though. I need to get my ores on the board before the market gets flooded and the prices drop down to 50 credits a stack again. I log onto Crystal Shards and pay for only 1 hour's worth of playtime, because that's all I can really afford. I set my character to spawn in Nazgar and wait for the world to load. I expect to see myself reappear in Gruzog's cavern, where I was disconnected, but instead I find myself outside the mines on the steppe of Andor. What the heck? And I'm buck naked. What? I check my inventory and see that everything is gone. What the heck happened? And then it dawns on me. When my brother disconnected me, the system must have glitched and left my character logged in. I must have gotten killed by one of the trolls wandering the cavern. The timer ran out, and I automatically respawned. My heart rate increases. How long has it been since I died? I check the logs and the timers, do a quick calculation. I check it twice just to make sure it's correct, but pray that it's wrong. The time I've spent away from the game comes biting back at me like a great white shark. I can't believe this. I'm about to lose everything. I have less than 8 minutes to collect my corpse. Chapter 10. Corpse Run. I hit sprint and make a mad dash for the mines. I know I'm going to aggro every troll in there, but if I can run past them fast enough and make it back to my tombstone, maybe I can get my gear right before they kill me again. At least then it would reset the timers. I run past the first troll, and the huge monster roars at me before giving chase. The ground trembles beneath my feet as it runs behind me. I run by another troll and aggro it as well. My stamina bar depletes, and I drop from a sprint to a jog. Oh, crap. The trolls, even slow as they are gaining on me. I aggro a third one, a fourth. My stamina bar is still filling, but I hit sprint again to use what few points have returned. I sprint for about a second, and then slow to a jog once more. One of the trolls gets close enough to swing its massive club at me, and I'm killed in an instant. I hit respawn and reappear outside the mines with another full tank of gas. This time I jog into the mines and conserve my sprint until I see the first troll. Unfortunately, though, I see a bunch of them. The same ones that were chasing me are now clustered together in one big giant group. I hit sprint and try to run through them. Splat! I respawn and try again. Dead. I check the timers and see that I have 6 minutes left. Crap! I get desperate and do a yell. Reese. Can someone help me get my corpse from Silvertooth Mines, please? I waste another half minute yelling to no avail. I do a player search in the mines to make sure I'm not screaming to an empty zone. There are at least 20 other players in there, but none of them are answering. None of them care. I suddenly feel like one of those beggars outside the elevator car, desperate and ignored. And if I don't get to my corpse soon, I could literally be one by the end of the month. I get a PM. Blindix.
Hey, I'm right next to your tombstone. How much time do you have left on your timer?
Yes, thank you, thank you. I quickly message Blindix back.
Me. Less than 5 minutes. Can you help me?
Blindix.
5 minutes?
Sweet. I wait for another reply, but I don't get one. I start to get worried.
Me. So, can you help me get my corpse?
Blindix. Nope, but I'm going to enjoy getting all your stuff in 5 minutes.
Ha ha! What the heck?
Me.
Please, don't touch my stuff. I need it.
I send the message, but it doesn't go through. Instead, a new message pops up. Player Blindix has added you to their ignore list and can no longer receive private messages from you.
No! I feel like tearing my hair out and screaming. What the heck am I going to do?
Gilly. She'd still have some sneak potions on her, probably, maybe. I check to see if she, by some miracle, has come back online. She hasn't. I can't even afford to buy more potions now, not with less than 200 credits in my account. I wouldn't have time to run to town to get them anyway. My heart is pounding. I rack my brain. I need help, but who? I don't know anyone else in this game. I do a player search for the only other name that comes to mind. Your search has found one player's online. Val Helena, 85, PLD, Plains of Duality.
She's on,
but in an area called the Plains of Duality? I have no idea where that even is. I send her a PM and pray that she responds.
Me. Hi, Val Helena, are you there?
10 seconds pass. Val Helena.
Yes? Thank heavens.
Me.
Can you help me, please? My corpse is stuck in Silvertooth Mines, and I can't get to it. I have less than 4 minutes before the timer runs out, and there's some guy about to loot it.
More seconds pass.
Val Helena.
Sorry, do I know you?
She doesn't remember me? I can't believe this.
Me.
Yes, I'm the miner guy from earlier today.
And then I add, for clarity.
Me. The one with the scroll of shadow copy.
She comes back much quicker this time.
Val Helena.
And you're about to lose it?
I didn't even think about that, but she's right. It's an untradeable item. If I lose my tombstone, it'll disappear as well. Not that I was planning to use it, but the thought of losing it permanently has me fretting over its loss even more than the ores.
Me.
Yes!
Val Helena.
BRT.
Her "be right there" message comes in only a few seconds before Val Helena herself materializes next to me, dwarfing me with her paladin armor and 8-foot-tall frame. She shoots me a party invitation, and I hastily accept.
Thank you so much for helping, I say through the party chat. I didn't know what I was going to do.
How much time? She says. No nonsense.
Exactly.
I check. 3 minutes, 48 seconds. She then whips out her sword and starts casting spells and activating powers. Val Helena casts Minor Favor of the Goddess. Your max HP, stamina, and TP are slightly increased. Val Helena casts Boundless Spring. Your stamina regeneration has increased. Val Helena uses Cover. Val Helena is covering you. Attacks against you will now be directed toward Val Helena.
Run and don't stop, she says.
She takes off with a speed that seems impossible for a woman her size. I sprint after her, and together we enter the mines. The trolls ignore her as she runs past, but as soon as they get a whiff of me, they aggro and give chase. I can see Val Helena's stats on my HUD, next to my own in the party lineup. Val Helena, level 85 paladin. HP, 6,012 of 6,012. Stamina, 430 of 430. TP, 390 of 390.
Dang! Over 6k hit points!
I'm so taken aback by the numbers that I don't even notice when one of the trolls takes a swing at me. I cringe. Miraculously, Val Helena swings her sword behind her and smacks the troll's club away with the massive blade.
Val Helena covers you.
Val Helena parries the mountain troll's attack. I almost laugh. I suddenly feel like I'm untouchable. And I probably am with Val Helena protecting me. I follow her as she thunders down the ramps and switchbacks to the lower levels. She takes a different route than what Gilly and I did earlier, which I assume is shorter. I check the timer.
1 minute,
I shout.
We'll make it.
But then I check my stamina bar. It's been greatly increased from normal and is draining much slower due to that regen spell, but it's still draining. And it's about to run out.
No! So close!
If I stop sprinting now, there's no way we'll make it. I watch my bar slowly deplete. 30 of 237 stamina. 23 of 237 stamina. 16 of 237 stamina.
Val Helena, I'm about to-
I got you! She waves her sword, and a green light engulfs me. Val Helena casts Second Wind. You recover plus 150 stamina.
Hot damn! This woman is amazing!
We power down a few more tunnels and empty into the cavern where Gruzug spawned. I see my tombstone on the other side, that player Blindix hovering over it like a vulture.
Name, Blindix. Sex, male. Race, elven. Class, archer. Level, 42. Guild, Scooby Snacks.
I hate this guy immediately, especially his stupid guild name. When he sees Val Helena bearing down on him, followed by me and half the trolls in the mine, however, he books it, looking like he's just crapped his pants.
Good riddance, scumbag. Get your tombstone quick,
Val Helena cries, and then turns to face the oncoming herd of trolls. As I run past her, she gives a battle cry.
Val Helena uses mass challenge. A mountain troll attacks Val Helena. 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 A mountain troll attacks Val Helena.
I stumble as I pause for a moment, mesmerized as all the trolls chasing me suddenly turn their focus on Val Helena. She's swarmed completely, and I lose sight of her in the din. For a moment, I fear they might overwhelm her. I check her HP.
5,917 of 6,012 HP. 5,800